Father, again, we thank you for the day. And we thank you, Father, for the precious word of God. Now tonight, Lord, I pray this subject is something that probably sometimes people say does not need to be taught in the church, but need to be done in a seminar somewhere or another, or a seminar. But Lord, I know this, that to my life, going back, you show me some things now. After 56 years serving you, I go back and reminisce in my life, and I just see so many things you brought me through and how you brought different things. And Lord, it certainly proves what the psalmist said, that Lord of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I pray tonight that what's been said will help someone see where they're at and be surrendered to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Deuteronomy, first of all, chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. While you're finding that, I read recently where there was a young couple been married about 10 years. About that time, you know, you get to know each other pretty well. And sometimes you don't, you know, Christians don't have fights, they have spats. And you know, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. There comes a time you have a little bit of a spat. Well, they had a spat. Now, the spat is just a small disagreement. And they got in a kind of heated argument, and she was sitting on the couch. And her husband kind of got Fred, real Fred-like, and said, you know something, you sure do make some stupid decisions once in a while. She didn't say a thing. He didn't think she heard him. She reached over and got her marriage album with the pictures in it, and she was flipping through it. He said, you hear what I said? She didn't say a thing. I'm going to tell you again, you sure do make some stupid decisions once in a while. She flipped through that annual and said, I sure do. I thought that was good. But anyhow, tonight, I hope that you be blessed by what I want to talk about, something very unusual, and that's leadership. Leadership. I think back in my life, and I see before I was saved and after I got saved, how God brought me through some things, training me for something I never knew would be training, but I've used it more for the church than I did in the world or in the business world. But it works both places. This book will work anywhere if you apply it right. And God has given us examples through the scriptures of what he has done and said. To go back even to the beginning of time, back in David's time, in the Pentateuch, Moses' time, and bring right on through up to when Jesus was here, when you talk about leadership. You know, people forget how fast a person may do a job, but they will never forget how well they did the job. I remember sitting in a seminar class years ago, the Color Hammer organization. It's taught by a professor out of state college. And he's made some things about leadership. And at that time, it helped to understand. But then I began to see here recently, as I reminisce back, and even when I was studying out of a Trinity in Newburgh, Indiana, I had a course on this thing, had strategy, strategic things that you would do if you had to plan things. And that course is one of the better ones that I was taught understanding things in the world. And went back and followed through some of that. And I saw some things that I learned then I never thought it would work when it comes to the organization in the church. By the way, the church is an organism. It's a living organism. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the head and we're the body. But that organism needs an organization. How do I know that? Because God gave the church an organization. Amen. He set the officers and so forth in the church for the purpose, because he realized we as human beings in a fallen condition need something to help us guide us in this particular life. When you're talking about people in the average, just a few thoughts. The difference between the rich and the poor. And I read recently where a person was giving a seminar on this, and he said the rich person invests their money and spends what is left. The poor people spend their money and invest what is left, which is most of the time nothing hardly. In life, if a person cannot learn to obey commands, and this is something I really understood, didn't understand years ago and been taught, but I remember pulling out that if a person in this life cannot obey commands, and I always said after I heard that, that was right. I believe God doesn't have us obey any command that's wrong. I just don't believe it. I believe everything that should be right, that we obey any commands given. But it said if a person ever cannot learn to obey commands that are given them by those who are over them, that person will never learn how to lead those who might one day be under their command. Now, I learned that in the world, and I learned that in the service 8 years. And so I can understand that when you apply yourself, and I'm glad, though I was not saved to start with when I got into the business world, but got saved early, I'm glad that I learned some things in life that I didn't know that would be backed up by the scriptures that's used right. And that God does back some things up in leadership when if it's done right. And you seek God's word for that and ask God to help us with that. Now, Jesus did not die to make us healthy, wealthy, and really happy. He died to make us holy. And if we are holy and walk holy, we will be healthy and we will be happy, because only God can satisfy that in this life. You know, true leadership starts with the heart, with character. And that's where God steps in. Help us understand things in this particular life. Now, in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, if you turn there with me, you'll see that God is rehearsing to Moses some things. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, he said, I've set the land before you, go and possess the land. Verse 12, he said, Moses said, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? He said, take you wise men, understanding, and none among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Now, watch. This is 40 years later that he rehearses this to Moses as they're going into the land of Canaan. Turn back to Exodus with me, chapter 18. You'll find where he gave it to him the first time. And God said this in verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter that shall bring unto thee, but the small matters they shall judge, so shall it be easy for thyself, and they shall bear the burden up with thee. If thou shalt do these things, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Isn't it amazing what God says? You want organization? I'll give you organization. If you obey me, then the end result will you be able to go to your place, whatever it is, and it'll be in peace. Now, when you look with me in 1 Samuel, and I won't turn there this moment, but if you reference to that later, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, God talks about David, and David was to take Saul's place. And he says, I have raised me up a man who will listen to me and obey me, and Saul is going to be removed. Saul didn't resign. God took him off the throne because he would not believe what God had to say. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3 and 4, he said that he'd raise David up as a leader and a commander of those particular people of Israel at that particular time. Now, when I think about the Old Testament, what God said, and there's a lot of verses, I could, for sake of time, I couldn't finish the message. There's a lot of verses where God shows that organization is really needed in life. Organization needs in our own life. That's when God set up the home like he did. And today it's been distorted and destroyed just about. But a man, where people realize not, God set man as the head of the house. But at the same time, that don't mean that he's a dictator. That means that he is a leader. And he's to set forth some things in the home. And so when you look at life now, it's been so distorted, it's hard to understand what's going on. But I hope tonight that you won't let Satan destroy what God is setting forth. And let me just get a panoramic view of some of this stuff. If you look in Matthew chapter 20, and it's verse 28 through 25 through 28, you'll find that there's a discussion, and I don't want to read that. I want you to be turning to Luke 22 just a moment. You'll find there's a discussion among the apostles who are going to be the greatest. Factually, too, Peter and John, and their mother even got involved with that discussion. Who's going to be the greater in the kingdom of God? Who's going to be the greater when he sets it up? And they had a real problem with that, and there was discontent among the other disciples when they heard what had been asked. But I want you to turn with me in Luke chapter 22, and then we'll look at what Jesus said when he was here about this thing of leadership. And this kind of put a capstone on it. We'll make a few comments and go home. But look in chapter 22. If you look down about verse 24, the Bible says, and there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now that goes back to what we're talking about. In Matthew, he brought this up too. And he said unto them, that is, Jesus said unto them. Now, notice sometimes when Christ is going to tell something of truth, he'll bring up the kingdoms of the world, how they act to a degree when it comes to certain things. He said, the kings of the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Now, when that question, which is the greatest one, the one who sits at the table to eat or the person who comes in to serve? And of course, automatically, the first thing would be said, well, it's the person who's sitting at the table, been served. The service serves, it serves those who to be served. You remember one time Jesus said, when you come to a place and they don't ask you where to sit, take the last seat. Take the father's seat away. And then by chance, if the person who's in charge of the service or the meal asks you to come up and sit with him, then you come up. But a sad thing to move and sit in the first seat that he asked you to go back and sit in the back. And so he's laying some principles about what it means in leadership. And then he goes on and says here, but it is not he that sitteth at meat, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Brother Keith talked this morning about Jesus washing the apostles' feet as a servant. What Jesus is saying to this, listen, there are some things about being in control that you need to understand. No leader would ever ask their people to do something they wouldn't do. Just all this to it. And Jesus said, I want you to know this. There can't be any pride in leadership. It has to be that you realize that if God raises you to a leadership position, it's a place of service, not dictatorship. And yet on the other hand, it's a place of service that you stay in line with this book, because this book's what dictates to us anything we do or not do. So I find out, studying the scriptures, what amazes me in this life, what happens, you see. You know, one time Jesus said this, the harvest is plenteous, but what? The labors are few. Then he said, therefore, to the disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send labors into the harvest. Isn't it an amazing thing, ladies and gentlemen? He did not say, and this is what got me recently reading that again. Jesus did not say, pray for the harvest. What did he pray for? The labors to go into the harvest. Jesus said there's going to be a harvest when the word of God is proclaimed. It may be small, it may be large, but we need laborers. We need those who will go in and take the gospel of Jesus Christ and do what I have left you to do, starting with the apostles and the Great Commission and so forth. What is that? A leader, ladies and gentlemen, is simply telling others or leading and influencing people to do something a certain way because hopefully it'll be the better way. Leaders, it's like Paul said, to witness that Christ, God was in Christ reconciling this world to himself. That's the ministry of an ambassador, that we represent the kingdom of God here. And therefore, to represent that kingdom, we should understand enough about that kingdom, what our King and what our Savior and what our Lord and what our God has said, that we can reveal that to someone else to lead them towards the Lamb of God. So at least the Holy Spirit will have a chance, once you give that word out, to draw them to the Lamb of God to be saved. So I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership and look at the scriptures along the line. Leadership is the ability of one person who can influence another person towards a goal. And our goal is to do our best to influence people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that all of us are leaderships. Somewhere or another in life, we're leading someone. Someone may be watching you and pattern your life, you don't even know anything about it. Where you work at the job, where you go, where you pleasure, wherever you go, somebody may be watching. If someone is watching you to be influenced towards a goal, you are a leader to that person at that time. And then some people are in positions where a place, and you see that as God works through his book at different places where you be the nation of Israel and rousing them up. He said the time's going to come, and Moses said this time, when we were talking about, he said to the nation of Israel so many words, listen, God has kept his word. He's blessed you with millions of people. And the burden's too hard for one person. And so what I'm going to do is divide up in those in thousands and those in 10,000 and thousands and hundreds. And he broke it down. And you have someone in every position to help deal with the problems that come. Why? Because fallen man's going to have problems. The best church in this world is going to have problems. You know why? We still have an old depraved nature. It's sad. Well, I thank God that God has kept us from a lot of problems. Maybe we're doing some things that are right. But I'm saying to you, I get calls more so now than ever where just things are happening because something broke down inside the church out of leadership. And therefore, it has the the gate has to be mended if it's going to be back right. So good leaders are not physical born, though, as leaders. They're developed. No good leader is born to physically be a leader. It's something you can learn, but you have to apply it in your life. And so good leaders enhance production. They develop higher morals and minimize problems that comes up. Many times seminars are on leadership health. You know why? Because every place you've got in anything we're involved in, there are problems that need to be solved. There are things that need to be taking place, and therefore, people a lot of times, and I've said this many times in life, the business world generally pays more for people who solve problems than someone who just works online and put a peg in a hole. Because that is where the business world's at. Well, God's work, though it's an organism, has to be handled like a business in this world. I guarantee you, this world looks at the Business Affairs Fellowship Baptist Church as a business, not as an organism. And therefore, that's all they see. They don't know one thing about the church. Most people we do business with probably don't know one thing about the church as we know it. They just think we're a bunch of religious people here, kind of want to get along with where we're at, our own way we want to believe, and therefore we meet here for that. Not saying that, no, this we're trying our best, like any church should be, an instrument in God's hand to carry out His commission in this world to do the things He called us to do. So they enhance production. So many times seminars are leaders. But God is looking for good men who are leaders. And you hear this lately, and I thought about it, and it's what got me thinking. You heard lately in the political world, you can't lead someone from behind. And that's absolutely the truth. You can't lead someone behind. A leader has to be in front. One of the things they taught us in the services, in fact, if we're going to lead someone doing what we're doing, I don't care how many classes I taught, a lot of classes. I've told you before, and it's not pride, it's just the fact I believe everything I do should be for the glory of God. If I'm a soldier in the service or if I'm a manager of a place, I'm doing it for the glory of God. I'm doing it because I understand why I'm here. God must be glorified in everything I do. Now, some people may laugh at that and say, I don't believe that. But that's all right. That's the way my life has been for 56 years. And it will be that unless I go out of my mind. I'm about to do that sometime now. I wonder I'm losing it. Are you finding yourself you get all the losing parts of your mind? I'm amazed. I'm afraid one day I'm going to wake up and see Barbara and say, who are you? She's afraid she's going to say the same thing. We're having problems now, a little bit like that. But what we're looking at is this thing of leadership. You cannot lead from behind. You have to lead out front. The real difference, there's always a difference in a train's engine and its caboose. You can't drive a car forward looking through the rear view mirror. When you think about the train, and by the way, you take a train with a caboose and it can go backwards about as good as it can go forward. That's not the way it's made, though. You know that? In life. And so one is a leader, the other is a follower. Sometimes a train moves in opposite direction of the engine, and this is a true fact. It does that. You see it all the time. I saw that the other day right out here on this track as that long train came through and you had to set up a good while. And he'd move forward for a period of time, and you think you'd just about get the end of it, and all of a sudden he stopped me back up. I'm sure he had a reason for backing up. But I'm sure his backing up was losing time compared to going forward. Because you don't drive a train on the track running backwards all the time. You say, preacher, this ain't Bible. Yes, it is. I'm headed somewhere or another. Amen. And when you think about that, you sometimes, like I say, when this happens, the engine is doing the pushing when you're going backwards, and so this works, but it's not designed to work that way. So when any leader does not work from the front, disaster's in the making. And all men that God asks to lead are in the front. And that's where I've said many times. I've been questioned a lot of times. I ask a lot of questions. I know when we were changing the transmitter out of the radio out here at the building back a few years ago, I was in there and asking every question if possible, and that's the way I learned. And I've said many times, I ask questions. There's no use for me to list a lot of information I don't know anything about. When I ask a question, that's specifically what I want to know. Amen? That's it. And that's sometimes I like think about reading books. I love to read books. I read books because I can learn a lot from reading a man's book more so than I can learn just trying to practice things before I know what to do. A lot of times if I practice things before I don't know what to do, I mess it up. And sometimes even if I know what to do, I mess it up. But we, our time is so valuable, and that's what God puts in our heart. And as I worked on this the last few weeks and months, I'm telling you, it's something that really rehearsed my heart. In a biblical society, God sets up kingdoms. Kingdoms need kings to to reign, to lead. Now, this doesn't mean that women are not capable of leading. And in our age, you get in trouble what I'm fixing to say, but I believe it all in my heart. And God loves women just as much as he loves men. And I'll tell you this, man, if men don't let God use them, he'll use women. He'll use them. But he set up a system in leadership because you can't have more than one head in something. I remember seeing a snake had two heads one time. It went out in the ground either. It was in a zoo. You show them things off when you have something like that. But a biblical side, God sets up kingdoms. Now, it means simply that every king, when you talk about it, this doesn't mean that women are not capable of leading. It simply means when a kingdom's set up, there's not a king that ever exists don't need a queen. Now, here's the thing about it, though. In the way it's set up in the leadership, if you want to mess up a family, take the man out of leadership. If you want to mess up, don't get upset with me until I finish now. If you want to mess up the community, take man out of the leadership. If you want to mess up society, take man out of the leadership. Ladies, please don't get upset. Because here's the thing. If man fails, he'll use a woman. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Don't tell me I can take you right to Joshua chapter 4, verse 4, and the judges. And there were 13 judges. And Deborah was a woman. And God used Deborah out of the 14 judges. 13 were men, but one was a woman. Wonder why? Evidently, men weren't ready at that time when Deborah took over. Or maybe she was better than any man on the face of the earth at that time. But then changed what God thought. Because he said, you see, ladies and gentlemen, God's probably going to end up whether we do it or not. If we stop right now and not do another thing for God, you think that's going to hinder his program? He'll just raise someone else later. It may be fewer, he may take longer, but he's going to come out just like he wanted to. And I'm just so happy to be part of it. Thank God he'd give me a chance to be part of it. I think more now than was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I kind of thought just get to heaven is the only thing I was looking for, and I'm glad to be know that. But boy, what a joy to know that God would use us as a body of believers in his great plan and program of redemption in this world. So again, I think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me closely. An opportunity that may come to you and I in life to be promoted, but it will not guarantee our success. Success will come because of hard work. If you don't believe, and I thank God he let me be in position where you work at, if you do not believe, if you're down the road somewhere or another in a place of business and you don't work like you should, you'll never be promoted like someone who will work. Because men, I know, sit and discuss things about what people's capabilities. You try, you help, you go to send to school, you do all you can do to see what you can bring out the capability of someone. And when you talk about in a business somehow or another, they're going to look for the best they can have because they're looking out. You see, there's not a person working in a business don't have a boss. Even the president high in a business got a boss. It's shareholders. And everybody's looking for something. And so therefore, they're looking who would best do what needs to be done in that organization. God is looking for some good men who will become leaders based on his instructions. If you work for a company and you go to this thing, they want to give you some leadership studies. They're going to put it around what they need for their company. It may be principles to be the same, but it may be a little different than it would be for another organization who you're working with. So that's with God. God may use at times and get us to understand how the world works, but he'll never adopt the world system in the sense the way the world does it. If he uses anything, or if he gives them an example for us to look at, he does a few times in the New Testament. He gives it to us on the basis we bring it into line where he's at, so we understand his goals, because those in the world are do the world's goals, and God has his goals as the main thing in life. So I'm going to give you five quick points. I'm going to go through them real fast. First of all, Christ needed, and when I did, I went back and I looked at Jesus Christ the best I could and studied his life a little bit, because he's the example of the best leader that this world's ever seen. And he has some qualities that he's told us by the Holy Spirit to help us in this life. First of all, Jesus Christ was the greatest leader of all time. To duplicate his style would be a help in our lives. Think about this, folks. You think of any man that never did anything that the world would look at. He never, listen to me, he never went to a university. He never had university training. He had no computer technology. There was no internet resources. There was no organization training. He never wrote a book. And yet he changed the world. through the people that he picked and through the message he preached. And by the way, it was in 3.5 years. The other 30 years was just showing him coming up. Now, he had to be born. We don't have no record much except when he was 12 years old, when he was born. The only record we have is 3.5 years. Can you imagine? That shows us. That shows us that he's God. Because there's no way in this world that a man can come on this earth and cause what he's caused down through the years for hundreds of years unless he be of God. Especially the way Christ presents himself to this world as Lord and Savior. Man's got to be born again. And this thing, it's really interesting. I mean, he and his disciples changed the world, even affecting the earth today. Did you know we're affected today by what Jesus did through his disciples? Hey, he never wrote anything we know of while he was here. Who wrote it? The apostles, disciples, different men that was there. And the Holy Spirit that lived in those men that impressed them to write the book and keep it accurate for us in our particular day. How did he do it? When someone said, well, he was Lord in the flesh, holy and with God, godly attributes. Yes, he was, but he didn't use that to change this world. He was the Lord. But he used those disciples. He used those men. Those men that you, when you saw them, you never thought they're never going to make it. I mean, after all, who'd ever thought to use Peter again after he's cursed and swore he'd never know Christ when Christ needed him? You know what? He saw his heart. God knows our heart. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Sometimes you get into trouble and something don't go just like you think it ought to go. And you may act a little bit different. Just keep in mind, God knows your heart. God knows where you love him or don't love him. God knows if you can be set aside once in a while. And that's not a lifestyle. It's a one-time event. Because then he'll bring you back in a way that you can't explain it. No one to understand it. Why? They don't need to understand it. You're the only one who needs to understand how God deals with us as individuals in this life. And so I'm grateful to see he used them to change the world. He used people just like you and me to get the message out to this world. I believe the greatest pleasure that God has is to be believed, simply because he said it. I believe the greatest displeasure that God has is not to be believed, just because he said it. Jesus' disciples were not holy. They had emotional problems, failing problems, discouragement problems, physical ailments, problems just like we have. The success of this movement was their leader and his ability to lead. Dr. Lee Robinson used to say years ago, everything rises and falls with leadership. And when I was a young man hearing him say that story, I didn't understand because I didn't see how you incorporate the world leadership into what is happening in the church. But now I do. God is letting us see sometimes the world is wiser than his own people. He says that in some of the parables. So to study Jesus' work manifests his leadership quality as a man who trusted God, using his time wisely. Did you know Jesus used his time wisely? He said, my meat is to do the will of God. Well, I'm here. You know what he said? Everything I'm going to do is to be exactly what God wants me to do. And by the way, you and I may not find it exactly every time because we have to fill it to the flesh. But by the way, he had not failed. He had it just like it should be. He never had to repeat anything unless he repeated for us as human beings. And so number two, Jesus Christ, leadership, he had leadership abilities. Jesus had a strong knowledge base about what he's doing. He understood his lot in life. You and I must be fully knowledgeable in the field that we're in. No matter where you're at, nobody's going to put us up in a position if we're not knowledgeable about it. And the thing about it is, practical to some degree. Not only do we have the knowledge, we're going to have practical ability about you something. How can you apply that knowledge correctly somewhere to come out with the best result? And God is the one who teaches us to do just that. And I'm thankful for him. You know, you must be fully knowledgeable in the field. Now, Jesus knew where he was headed. Jesus knew his goals. Amen? Amen? He told disciples, I'm going to die. They couldn't get it. They had no way. But he knew his goal. He knew why he was here. And he kept telling them. And he knew even though there would be up front what would happen when he would die and was buried, he knew what was going to be later when the Holy Spirit came. He knew they'd be reinforced in a way and remember what he had done 3.5 years, and from there they would be giants for God. And so they were. Jesus knew where he was headed. Leadership is working with people to solve problems. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ, and I guarantee you, if you be honest, you can't understand it because he was God in the flesh. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible says that Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and in stature. And understand the stature, because he was a little baby and he grew up to be a man. But wisdom and him being God, there's something about growing up that he had to do that to understand us and for us to know he met everything that we need to, that we have to meet in this life. And then he said, not only did he increase in wisdom and stature, but he said he had favor with God and man. How can that be him being God? It's saying that Jesus came up, and surely if he had favor with God, he'd have favor with man. In other words, he did exactly what needed to be done. Even though he was God in the flesh, he is a man. He laid aside some things and came as a man, and even as a man, obeyed God, just like God said. So Jesus Christ's leadership had leadership abilities at that time. Do you know sometimes you talk about goals? What we find, you know, if a person going to trust Christ, they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to believe the record of God's Son. In this life, decisions helps us get started. Now hear this closely. I don't care where you at, where you work at, any decisions you make about anything in life, personal, on the job, in life, any decisions you make helps you get started towards your goal. But discipline will keep you going. The discipline part is what is needed, and that's where we fail. A lot of people, I thought of going to heaven being saved, but so many people don't care nothing about disciplining themselves to be what God wants because they don't even realize someone's watching them. I don't care where you at in life, you're a leader to somebody who's watching you. And you may start out by decision, and we do to trust Christ as Savior, but discipline comes by trusting him what he says about applying to our life because people are watching our lives. And so Jesus Christ had leadership ability. Number three, Jesus had vision. In John 4:34, he said this one day, it's like, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, he's talking about what he's going to do. He said, no, my will is to do the will that sent me and to finish his work. His goal was everything he did was do what God sent him for, to finish his work. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? We'd say, I know in my life I'm doing things on the side, but my goal now, since I'm a born-again child of God, to represent my Heavenly Father in every way that I can. With my failures and everything else, realize that I need to be disciplined to be a vessel for God, to witness through us the reconciliation that can come to man through Jesus Christ. And so Proverbs 29 verse 18 said, where there's no vision, people perish. You ever thought about that? Where there's no goal to reach people, they perish. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. What an awesome thought comes that someday all of us may stand before God one day and realize he gave us an opportunity to give that vision out, and we failed. And I guarantee you, all of us have failed somewhere or another. Aren't you glad you got the blood, you can come to Christ and say, God, please forgive me. Help my feeble way that I can be yielded to you and have the heartbeat that I need to have. John 17:4, Jesus said, Jesus finished his work, which God had gave him to do. That's what he said. Everything that Jesus did was focused on his vision. Leaders must stay focused on their vision. The goals, the planning, the practical side of that. A vision or a goal puts you in action. And here, problems must be solved to accomplish your goal. You and I, just the same as I worked years ago, problems came up. They had to be solved to accomplish the goal, to please those who you work for. By the way, same way with God. You go out soul winning this week, you go talk, you're going to run into a problem. Satan's going to see to it that you run into a problem. And you won't know how to handle it. And what you have to do is say, Lord, I got to prepare for this. I got to prepare for this. Lord, I don't have it. And you just say, well, it's so nice vision. You only have prayer and leave and go back. And then what you do, if you really decide to discipline yourself to what God, you're going to go to this book and try to find it. So next time you run it, you may never get to see that person again. You're going to say, Lord, if you'll help me next time, I have an answer for that question. I have an answer for that so that when that person comes, I can at least give the word of God to him, you see. And God gives us that instruction that we can do just that. Because how the word of God is in our heart not only keeps from sinning against him, but helps us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so here, problems must be solved to accomplish the goal. Now, the thing about it, a vision or goal will cause you to create. A vision called, and where you work, a goal can cause you to make better money. It'll induce initiative. It'll diminish doubt. It'll frustrate fears. It'll adjust your attitude. It'll fuel you with fire. Goals or no vision, there's no victory. And the Lord sets this forth. It's interesting. He says the foolishness of preaching, we get victory out of it in 1 Corinthians. That which the world seems to be foolish is a great thing in God's sight. And so it is as anything else we see that can help us, motivate us to be where we ought to be, to do what we should do. And the thing about this is, that's when I say, if a person adopts the fact that what I'm doing at this particular job, I'm doing for the glory of God, that's my lot in life, that means then if I'm going to do it for the glory of God, it's got to be something that's right. It's got to be something that God has not said is wrong. That's the reason I can never work in a brewery. I can't do it for the glory of God. Folks, you think I'm crazy, don't you? Hey, I've not been saved for serving God 56 years for nothing. That's really nice. Some things I could not do. Because it wouldn't glorify God. I have no reason to do anything if I can't do it, though that person may get filthy rich. I'm still doing it for the glory of God. And to do so, God is honored. And that's what you see Joseph. Many people, others are honored and blessed, and they take note of that. When no vision, life is empty and boring. Here, anger and contempt comes in. I'm by through. For one to say that in this situation would hide others from reaching their spiritual potential. When anger and contempt comes because one is not being what they ought to be, what happened, it's going to cause others to follow. I tell my wife a lot of times, you know, we said, then someone would come out and say, you know what? Somebody's watching that. I don't care if it's my own family. Somebody's watching that, and you watch it. Somebody will pattern that after a while. Because there's always somebody God's letting us be a testimony to, if you're saved. If not, then Satan is getting his best out of that. And so I understand. To hear it, anger and contentment comes. Now here people come up liability rather than successful. And here one needs determination. Determination will change your attitude. It'll change your dominion. It'll change your level of peace. It'll change your happiness. It'll change in focus on morals and values. Christ is the example of a leader who uses his abilities towards his vision. And nothing wrong in this. If you're doing a job somewhere and you want to be your best, say, Lord, God, I'm going to do best I can. If I don't have it, help me get what I need to do to finish and do this job for your glory. For your glory. And if you get it, and I'm going to try my best. Lord, when I accomplish something, don't let pride slip in. Pride will destroy us. It'll cause us to act different. But let it be that it be for your glory. And if I can convince myself and not let Satan trick me up to doubt that it's for God's glory, then I will never bash in it to be proudful. That's what I see in Joseph, looking at his life, when I study his life in years past. And so here one needs determination. Determination does some great things for us. And then number four, Jesus was an excellent teacher, communicating his vision clearly to his disciples. He had a goal, he had a vision, and he told it to his disciples. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15. Paul said this, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He never forgot who he was, and he always had the only message of this world, that Jesus Christ saved sinners. He never talked about raising money much unless it's for a good cause. He taught everything about who Jesus Christ was to save sinners. And sometimes you hear people say, well, the Apostle Paul was just a religious fag going on, had a certain goal in life. No, he had God's goal. He had God's vision. And he went right into that just as hard as he could. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul got that vision over in Asia Minor when God spoke to him. And then you see in John in chapter 3 and verse 17, I love this, because in John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus said this. He said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. What I'm telling you, his vision was that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul never lost that in his ministry. Never did he do that. And then the last thing, Jesus recruited himself good men. And this is where we back up. We lay the foundation up to this, and this is where he recorded what he had abilities to pass on. What he wanted to do, be sure that those involved to receive those things that he had been doing now and had to be transferred to others, that the church itself would pick out men And that's what we come to church in when it comes to officers, so forth in the church. He looked into their hearts and lies. His disciples were loyal, trustworthy. They had skills and were dedicated to Jesus' vision and his mission in his life. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4 and down about verse 32, Acts 4 and 32, watch this. What's this about this church? This is the state of the church in Jerusalem. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now, he's not talking about the fact that we just, I don't think he's talking about us take everything, put in a book at the church and share it out. For us, it did in that day, because there's a great need there. But he's letting us see there's common denominator for us in this life. We want God's will so much that we will find ourselves looking at what I look at the last part of that, they had all things in common. The common denominator for you and I is that we should love souls because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And we ought to be used of him verbally to communicate the wonderful word of God that he can honor and bless because it's God. I don't know why. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that God could have, if God struck Paul off of the horse on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, he could have told him just as much so what he wanted done as to send him to Cornelius' house. Why did he knock him off his horse and get his attention sound? Now you go, let Cornelius stay, or not Cornelius, but Ananias? Ananias, thank you, brother. Ananias. He'll tell you. Why do you think God did that? He's letting us know in all his demonstrations and work, so forth, that he uses people to get his gospel to their age. He lets us be born in time, and he uses people to get the gospel to the age at that particular time. And so he was blind. He had to go, and he went to Ananias. And, of course, Ananias, when he heard he was coming, man, he was scared to death of him. He didn't have to think, hey, he'll kill believers. And he said, No, he's going to be good. He'd be going to use me for the Gentiles and so forth. And, of course, he got his sight back. And Ananias was used for God to tell him some things at that time. And so he recruited good men. They did not think of themselves more highly than did the leaders. There was no pride here. And spiritual pride is the main door that Satan can enter the heart of anyone. When this happens, there is not a worthwhile vision for anyone. When pride slips into heart, it blinds us of the goals. And in turn, selfishness sets in and rebellion sets in. And when that happens, it's a sad thing. And you know the thing about it is, I or you, either one, if we do it, don't see it to start with. Others will see it. That's the reason he tells us about being leaders. Did you know most people that really start slipping and backsliding don't see it? Why? We adjust ourselves to where we want to be. And those who do see it are very gentle and very quiet about it, and they keep praying. There's people that people pray for others that see things they don't even know about. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. This thing of serving God is no fickle stuff. I'm going to tell you, it's real, brother. Yes. It's really real. And God has not left us ignorant. I can just see sometimes trying to stand before the throne of God as a child of God and start saying I didn't know something when you have things that are written in this book that's right there for us. So let me close just with this thought. When this happens, there is not a worthwhile vision for anyone. Ladies and gentlemen, and I thought earlier this morning and also this week as I thought, this thought came to my mind. It's too late right now to understand what God wants me to do and understand direction that God's leading and taking in all the things of helps in other ways. It's too late for yesterday. I can't depend on tomorrow. The only thing I have is today. The maturity that God would give me. 2 Corinthians 6, even he says, even salvation today is the day of salvation. The only thing we have. If we live through the night to tomorrow, tomorrow may be the only day we have. And that's the reason God teaches us we're not to consider longevity. God could come any day, or we could die any day. We have no promise of tomorrow. Isn't it amazing? And yet, very few of us think of that unless we have a pain or something happen. We say, oh my. We kind of like Fred Sanford. You have a pain. Oh, Lord, I'm coming. You know, that's a mockery in itself. But that's the way we are. We don't think about death much until something comes that we think this could be it, an end day. And so this is the day. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, Look at that verse with me just a moment, because it's a tremendous verse. And we see the Old Testament, what God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. He said this, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." In Psalms 118, and I used this verse for 20 years, and I was on a data broadcast from my office, I had a data broadcast 10 minutes in the morning, Monday through Friday. And I always use this in Psalm 118, 24. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." That's, I said it every day for 20 years on the radio when I went on for that 10-minute broadcast. And that's Psalms 18, 24. So what I want you to leave with this thought as I talk about leadership, we do not make ourselves leaders. This is dictatorship. We work till Jesus comes, and he arranges leadership positions based on our obedience. You believe that? It's true, though, brother. God looked at us. If you had a business or someone to work, you want someone, you look at something other, and you look at it, you put everything in that as you could to get the best you could get out of it. And that's what God, he looked at us. None of us are any better than anyone else. We're all saved by God's grace. But there are decisions and there are disciplines at times where some will take a hope better than others. And God looks at that. And that's when he told the disciples, told the church in Acts, and where the disciples were told some things too. But the apostles told the church in Acts, you pick out men, you remember, full of wisdom, godly men who would be discipline themselves to the faith. That's what those characteristics would do, to be that, to want God's will, to handle the affairs. Isn't it amazing that the very thing that God told Moses to do in the Old Testament, he ended up telling the church through the disciples to do in the New Testament, because that's the reason we have bishops, teachers, evangelists. He tells they are gifts to the church that God gives. You think God's going to give a gift to the church, someone who won't do what the gift says he should do? No. That's a man-made thing. The blessing comes when the gift is given by God, and it's given through what you see as they make impressions. As a leader leads us to see something that'd be worthwhile to fill a position somewhere or another. So we don't make leaders ourselves leaders. This is dictatorship. We work till Jesus comes and he arranges those leadership positions. And you'll find he'll open those positions up based on history, based on our history. As the light word of God is a lamp to my feet to walk. Now, there you walk slowly here as you learn. You walk slowly as you learn, but you got to keep walking. You can't start walking and stop. And when you stop, you're always reversing. At least say amen to that. But as long as you keep walking, it may be slow. I am slow. You heard me say, I have a hard time learning. I wonder sometimes if I didn't, a special child. Because I'll tell you, but you walk slow. But it becomes concrete stuff. And then one day, God lets you turn around and you look back. And you say, man, look, when I was in the service, what I was doing there, when I was teaching those classes, when I wanted to study for the ministry, wanted to be a chaplain, didn't come because God changed that because of what he let me see. When I stand before that day in 64 when I became the soldier of the year in our company in Pattaya, I look back and I see all of that, everything there, led me to where I'm at today. And God's leading you the same way. Everything in your life leading you to something, a goal, do the best for him. Don't throw it away. Ask God to help you to use it for his glory. Folks, I love you. Ladies, I'm not saying anything to hurt you tonight. We love you. As far as I'm concerned, you can be the greatest Christians a man can be. Just there, God is a God of order.
Yes, sir.
Stand to your feet, please. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm glad I understand enough about you. You don't have to change something just because of the times. It'll work in any generation, any time, any age, because it's God telling humanity what will work for him in a fallen condition. Thank you for that. Father, help us be our best for you. Help us. Sometimes we had a job, maybe I know that, doing something. I know years ago, Lord, sometimes I come to look around at the company and find somebody, and they'd ask you about, would you go do this and spend 6 months on this job? Hit it up. And there's times I said, Lord, I really would not like to do that. I like what I'm doing now. But I'd go and give it my all, Lord. It seemed like it always worked out. I mean, remember one time being put in a high detect resistor room, which was controlled atmosphere. And because of what I had done in the switch department, they wanted me to go there, and I spent the night shift there for about 6 months. I had no ability, I thought I could do it all, other than what I had learned through the company. And came out at the end. It had one of the best years it had, or a few months it had. And Lord, it just goes to show you, I believe, God, just like he honored Joseph, I believe with the failures we have, if we want to do it for your glory and mean it and diss myself for that, Lord, when God is honored, he'll make you have favor with man and God. And the world won't understand it. Father, bless our people this week. Help them to be the vessel they need to be. And Lord, when they face those trials, and they're going to face them, I'm sure there's people in this church face things I don't have to face now because I'm pastoring a church. But I've been there. I've been in the grassroots. I know what it is in production. I know what it is to deal with unions. I know what it is to deal, Father, down through the years. And all of that brought about a education, a knowledge that helps us hopefully keep pride out. Lord, we'll help us without you. We need you in everything. We may never be like Moses or like Joseph or like Paul. But Lord, we be who we are for you to use and help us in our... I'm so grateful that I keep going back at times, Lord, and think about believing. There's one time a fellow cried out in the scriptures, God, help, Lord, help my unbelief. And I have to do that a lot. I don't know it all. And Father, there's things that happen sometimes I can't believe it happens because simply what it would be, and yet I realize that I don't know everything and God is working everything out. And I cry, and all of us may have. These people that go to jobs sometimes say, Lord, I believe you're going to help me with this, but I don't see the help. I'm getting all pressure and things against me. God, please help my unbelief. Don't let me get to the place that I won't trust you because I want you to get glory out of it. God, help our frame of mind not to change from that which God has programmed to do in his Son to that which the world wants so much that we'd go against our God and our Savior and grieve the Holy Spirit that lives in us, Lord. We ask that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.